Hi, I'm Dr. Gary Chapman, and you're listening to the Radical Radiance Podcast.
Hey, friends, welcome back to the Radical Radiance Podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca George, and I am so thrilled to be with you today as we get to sit down and talk with Dr. Gary Chapman, the number one New York Times bestselling author of The Five Love Languages. We got to chat all about the love languages a couple months ago with him. If you haven't listened to that episode, make sure you go back and check that out. But today, we get to chat about his newest love language resource titled Five Traits of a Healthy Family, Steps You Can Take to Grow Closer, Communicate Better, and Change the World Together. We talk a lot about developing an attitude of service, about what it looks like to teach children to obey and honor their parents, and how countercultural that is in today's world. And there's just a lot of goodness in this episode. You're going to be so encouraged. I absolutely adore him, and it's just been such a joy to get to know Dr. Gary Chapman after the profound impact that the five love languages have had on my life. So I know you're going to be encouraged by him too. I want you to know we had a little bit of technical difficulty as we were recording this episode, so bear with us if there's a couple spots that feel a little out of place. But overall, it is an amazing conversation. I can't wait to share it with you. So join me as we sit down and talk with Dr. Gary Chapman. Dr. Gary Chapman, I am so excited to have you back on the show today. Thank you so much for being with me.
Well, thank you, Rebecca. It's good to be back with you.
I know. I was so excited to hear about your new book that we get to talk about today. And I was just so excited because I don't think we have enough of these conversations about what does it look like to have a healthy family. And you talk about some of these traits that you've seen. And I'm excited to dig into that today. So I would love for you to start by just sharing a little bit of how did God kind of plant the seed for the message of this book in your heart. Tell us a little bit about your heart for it.
You know, Rebecca, I've been doing marriage and family counseling now for over 40 years. And so many people who come into my office will say rather early on, I grew up in a very dysfunctional family. And I really don't know what a healthy family is supposed to look like. And I heard that so many times. And it's just true in our culture today that we have in our community, we have talked so much about dysfunctional families, but we haven't talked much about functional families. What does a healthy family look like?
Yeah.
And so whether you grew up in a dysfunctional family or whether you grew up in a healthy family, I think this book is going to help you as an individual. It's going to help other people who read the book. You're going to think, oh, here's some ideas I need to share with them. So, that's where it was born in my heart. I really believe that we need a fresh picture in our minds of what a healthy family looks like. And so that's really what motivated me to write the book.
Yeah. What are some things, as you think about the last few years, that you feel like have gotten in the way of maybe that healthy dynamic being disrupted? Maybe it's things are coming to my mind, like just the amount of technology that we use and how our heads are just in our phones rather than actually having conversation with the people that we love around a table at dinner time. There are some obvious things like that that come to my mind. But as you studied this and wrote the book, were there other maybe common things that you noticed that maybe are getting in the way of that?
Yeah, I think, it's not only those kind of things. Certainly technology has impacted the family unit and how the family unit operates. And we can grow up in a home where technology really is the means by which we communicate rather than face-to-face conversations. I think the other factors, however, are the tremendous advance today in terms of, going backwards, in terms of drug addiction. Drug addiction has caused so many families all sorts of problems. So I think that's another factor. And of course, the high rate of divorce as well. When a child goes through divorce on the part of the two people that they really love and really cared for, very difficult on that child when they get to be adults to figure out, well, how is this supposed to work? Because I didn't see it working in my family. So I think, those are some other issues that have made this so important.
Psst. Did you know that my debut book, Do the Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl, is available wherever you like to buy books? I wrote it just for you, friend. So if you are ready to see your gifts and talents from a gospel-centered perspective, prioritize goals related to your calling as you move forward with gumption and grace, maximize your passions in the work you do every day, actively partner with God to serve Him and love others, and overcome negative thought patterns so you can brainstorm, develop, and create with the confidence of a go-getter girl. If that sounds like you, then I want you to order today at the link in the show notes below. Each chapter includes prayer prompts, scripture for further study, questions for reflection, action steps to move your goal forward, and accompanying videos for individual or small group discussion. So grab a friend or 12 and let's use God's word as our compass to do the thing. After all, if not now, when? One of my greatest joys is having the opportunity to come share God's word at women's events, retreats, and conferences. I'm booking speaking engagements for this year and next year and would love to chat with you about your church's next event. Shoot me an email at hello@radicalradiance.live to start a conversation today. Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. And I wonder for those who, and you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but for the families who maybe the husband or the wife grew up in a family that wasn't quite, maybe they were a little more dysfunctional and they're walking into this new season, maybe with children, and they're having this desire to have a healthy family dynamic. Were there common things that you saw that really were encouraging to them or have been really transformative in how they think about the traits of a healthy family kind of on the other side of this message that you've seen?
Yes, and I think there's real hope, and that's why I encourage people. You know, we didn't choose our background. We didn't choose our history.
That's right.
As children, we grew up in a family, but we didn't form that family. So I think there's real hope, and one of the things is simply learning, first of all, what does a healthy family look like, and then how do I do that? And so, for example, one of the most fundamental things that I talk about in the book is in a healthy family, there is an attitude of service. That is, a husband has the attitude, honey, I'm here to help you. I want you to become the person you believe God wants you to become, and I want to help you in any way I can. And the wife has that same attitude toward him. And then they have the attitude, we're going to serve our children. We're going to discover their needs. We're going to learn how to meet those needs. And then the children begin to learn as they get older how to serve each other, how to serve mom, how to serve dad. And then in a healthy family, they take that attitude outside the family. So they, for example, get involved in food distribution. They get involved in other service projects, you know, where they're reaching out to serve people. And what we're teaching the children is, in our family, we serve other people. Because Jesus said about himself, I did not come to be served, I came to serve. And so we want to follow his example. We want to serve other people. And so in a healthy family, this is what happens. You know, Rebecca, my wife and I were on a plane coming home just yesterday. And we got into a little shuttle bus. And my wife had just had knee surgery about 7 weeks ago. So she was having a little struggle. And I was still back there putting the luggage in. And this young lady from China got out and helped my wife get on. And my wife said to her, well, thank you for helping me. And this young lady said, well, I'm a Christian, and that's just what I do.
Oh,
and I thought,
wow.
Man, that gal's got it, you know.
Yeah.
Christian, and that's what I do. Christians are here to serve others. And in a healthy family, there will be this attitude of service. Now, this is not natural. By nature, we're all self-centered. You know, the extreme, rather than service, is the attitude of selfishness. I'm in this relationship to get something out of it. I want you to make me happy. And that's where our world is today. In so many families, husbands and wives, I'm in this marriage to make me happy. You make me happy, we both be happy. You don't make me happy, I'm out of here. You know, it's selfishness. Two selfish people will never have a healthy marriage. But two people who have the attitude of Christ I'm here to serve you. We're here to serve our children. We're here to serve our community. We're here to serve God by serving others. That's a huge step in the right direction on having a healthy family.
Huge step. I love that so much. And I wonder, Gary, what helps you choose to have that selfless attitude on days where maybe you're really struggling to want to stop and take time to help load luggage at the airport and you're in a hurry or you're having a bad day or whatever it is? And we know that it's the Holy Spirit in us. It's the Lord at work in and through us. But what and how do you continue to make that choice every day, right? What helps you in that?
I think, first of all, it's an attitude of prayer beginning the day with God. I'm here. I'm your servant. I want to do what you have in mind for me today. Give me the attitude of Christ. You know, he will do that. He will change your attitude. You know, I didn't have that attitude when we got married, Rebecca. You know, my attitude really was more like I described earlier. If my wife was going to make me happy, which I thought she would, then everything's going to be fine. And we argued because we didn't agree on things. We didn't know how to solve conflicts. And really, God had to change my heart. I remember when I just cried out to God originally, I said, Lord, I don't know what else to do. We're not getting along. This is not working. And as soon as I said that, there came to my mind a visual image of Jesus on his knees washing the feet of his disciples. Mm. And I just heard God say, that's the problem in your marriage. You do not have the attitude of Christ towards your wife. Hit me like a ton of bricks, you know. And I just said, Lord, forgive me. You know, with all of my, I was in seminary studying to be a pastor. You know, I said, with all my study of theology, I've missed the whole point. Mm. I said, please give me the attitude of Christ. And I pray that every day now, you know, just sort of give me the attitude of Christ. And actually, three things made it practical for me in my marriage. Three questions. When I was willing to ask these three questions, my marriage began to change. Simple questions. Honey, what could I do to help you? Mm. Second question, how could I make your life easier? Third question, how could I be a better husband? Mm. And when I was willing to ask those questions, my wife was willing to give me answers. And I began to do those things. And within 3 months, she started asking me those three questions. And that's the attitude in a healthy family. So I think it's a matter of just reaching out to God every day. I want to be a faithful servant. You know, that's what Jesus called himself, a servant. It's what the apostles called themselves. We're servants of God. And so in a healthy family, this is what it will be there. And God will help us have that attitude.
Yeah. I love that so much. And I'm also aware that there are so many listening today who maybe are not married yet, or they're looking forward to the season when, Lord willing, they become a mom or a dad, and they desire to walk into that season of life with a healthy perspective. They want to be a part of leading a healthy family, and maybe that's not their season today. What encouragement would you give them as they prepare their hearts for the future in anticipation of that?
Well, you know, I wrote another book a few years ago called Things I Wish I Had Known Before We Became Parents. I'd suggest they read that book.
That would be helpful.
Because I didn't read any books before we had kids. I don't know if they had books back then or not, but I didn't read any. But I think, you know, understanding the role of a parent to teach and train the children. And those are the two biblical words. Teaching involves words. You know, we're verbalizing things to them, teaching them things. But then the actions, and words and actions have to go together. For example, I'll give you a common illustration. Let's say you're fixing dinner as a mother, and your kid's playing next door in the yard, and you go to the door and say, Johnny, dinner, and little Johnny just keeps on playing, and you go back to finish dinner. You go back out a second time and say, Johnny, dinner, and you do that a third time. And the fourth time you say, Johnny, get home, and Johnny comes home. Why did Johnny come home on number 4 and not on number 1? Because he's learned that if he doesn't come home when his mother says, get home, his mother will come down there and take him by the hand and lead him home. And he does not want mama in the neighborhood, so he comes. When you put words and actions together, yeah, that's the way we teach our children, words and actions together. And so in our culture, we kind of lean to one or the other. We either say, I'm just going to explain this to you, because we have the attitude if we explain it to our children, they're smart and they'll listen and they'll obey. And if they don't, we explain it again, a little louder. And then the action people are, don't ask me why, do it because I said so. If you don't, I'm going to, you know, and they're going to whack them, you know. And those people become physically abusive. The others become verbally abusive. No, you got to put those two together, words and actions together. And I didn't know that. I didn't know it was a, you know. So I think learning how to do that and learning how to discipline children, learning that as parents, we are the authorities. We're the ones who make the rules. Three-year-olds are not supposed to be in charge of households. Yeah, I'm amazed. And Sunday morning, okay, we're going to church. Three-year-old girl. Come on, honey, let's put your dress on. We're going to church. And the three-year-old says their favorite word. No. Oh, honey, grandmother gave you this dress. No. Oh, honey, look at the pretty ducky-wuckies. No. And I say, how do you get a dress on a three-year-old? You stuff her in it. It's not that hard. There's one hole for the head and two for the arms. It takes 30 seconds to dress a three-year-old. You know? So we make the rules, and we also share the consequences, which is precisely what God does. God made the rules for us, and he tells the consequences. So if we say, for example, now the rule is we do not throw the ball inside the house. We throw it in the yard, but not in the house. If you break this rule and you throw the ball inside the house, then the ball has to go in the trunk of the car for 3 days, and you don't get to play with it. And if you break something with the ball, we have to pay for it out of your allowance, okay? Now, you know and they know what the consequences are. So if it happens, you just say, you know, Johnny, I love you so much, but you know what happened. Not supposed to throw the ball in the house. And he starts crying. And you say, now, you know what has to happen, right? Yeah, I know. So let's go put the ball in the trunk of the car. And so you go out, put it in the car. But you say, listen, I love you so much. And most of the time, you obey. And I love you so much. So let's have to suffer the consequences, you know, of doing wrong. That child learns. We learn by suffering the consequences, you know. So we don't have to yell and scream at them. We just lovingly apply the consequences. And children learn to obey. Same way we learn to obey God.
Yeah, absolutely. The word that's coming to mind as you're talking through all of that is consistency. And I've watched as some of my friends who have parented, me and my husband do not have children yet, but one of the things that I have seen be so helpful is consistency in discipline and moments like that. So I love that you illustrate that so well. So we've talked a lot about servanthood and what it looks like to serve one another in our own marriage and then serving our children and them in return as they continue to learn and grow how to do that. I wonder, is there something else as you were working on this message, as you were thinking about these traits of a healthy family, that just really stands out to you as, man, this is so, so vital as we talk about this topic?
I think one other factor is one that's not real popular in our culture because we don't understand it.
Yeah.
And that is the husband is to be a loving leader in a marriage. I think we have misinterpreted that. Jesus said the husband's the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Mm-hmm. And we've misinterpreted that many times in our culture. And we say things like, well, the husband's the president. She's the vice president. He has the final word. Or we say he's the general. She does what he says. No. The biblical model is Jesus. What did the head of the church do for the church? He died for the church. That's the husband's attitude. He's following the example of Christ. He's a leader, but he's a leader in serving his wife. And so he takes that role of being that kind of leader to her. In a healthy family, I mean, I've never seen a wife walk away from a husband who had a loving attitude toward her, who had the attitude of Christ. He was leading her by serving her. In fact, I did a little research and found out that not a single wife in the history of this nation has ever murdered her husband while he was washing dishes. Not one.
Turns out that's never happened.
So I think the husband, if he sees himself as a loving, don't ever separate those two words, a loving leader, then, you know, the wife is going to respond to that when he's reaching out to meet her needs, and the children are going to respond, and the children are going to have a model of what a healthy marriage looks like.
That's right.
Dad is looking out for mom's well-being. Mom's looking out for dad. And that, every child deserves that. But millions of children grow up in homes where they don't see that modeled. And that's why a book like this can help them, because they can get the picture, even though they didn't see it in their parents' marriage.
Yeah, that's so good and so important. And it's so helpful to me as I think forward towards the future of Lord willing, the day that me and my husband take that step and become parents as well. Those are things that we talk about a lot in what we desire in our future family. And I think that's something that is important to dream about. If you are in that season of life where maybe you're looking forward or anticipating that next season in your marriage or getting married one day and serving your spouse in that way, there's no better time than today, whether you are or are not already a parent, to just begin having those conversations with the Lord of, what do I want my family's dynamic to look like? What do I want those healthy traits to be? And how do I develop those things in my own heart today, right? Even if you're in a season today where you do not have children yet, that does not mean that we don't get to practice serving one another, serving the people that God has planted in our life today. Every day. We get to practice that all the time. And so even on this side of parenthood, if that's where you are today, because I know many of our listeners are parents and some of them are not, there's always opportunities to practice those healthy traits even before, during, or after you have children. And so I love getting to have this conversation for all of those reasons for our listeners today. And Gary, there's one question that I ask every guest that comes on Radical Radiance. You've been on before, so you got to answer this question in the past, but I always love asking it because the Lord is always at work in us. And so even when we have guests return, it's often a different answer. And the podcast is called Radical Radiance, and the Lord just really put this verse in the Psalms on my heart when I was titling it and starting it, and it says, those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. It's Psalm 35, verse 4. And so the question I love asking is, in this season of your life, what about Jesus makes you radiant?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I think it's his attitude of service.
Yeah.
It so radically changed my life. And when I accepted and asked God to give me the attitude of Christ in serving my family and then beyond my family, I mean, that's what ministry is all about. You know, I've been involved in marriage and family ministry for over 40 years. It's that awareness of his example for us and how he served us, ultimately, of course, by dying for us so that God could forgive us and make us his children forever. And so, you know, I often just pray, Lord, give me the attitude of Christ in all that I do today. And I think if we have that attitude, God will answer that prayer.
Yeah.
And we will be his representatives. We will be bringing light or radiance to people that we encounter in the family and out of the family. And, you know, I would just also encourage single adults to read this book. Because if you get a picture, even before you get married, if you get a picture of five traits of a healthy family, what a healthy family looks like, you can kind of look at the family you grew up in, see what the strengths and weaknesses were. You can start asking God, help me not to be like my daddy, or help me to be like my father. You know, it can be a great experience because, you know, listen, most people are going to eventually marry. Not everybody, but most people are going to marry, and many of those are going to have children. And so if we can get pictures in our mind of what it's like to have a healthy family, anywhere along the journey, it's going to help us.
Yeah. I agree. I think no matter, as we've said, no matter where you are on that journey, I think this message is extremely helpful, whether it be in preparation for having children one day or developing those awesome habits in your family as it exists today. So I love that you've written this for us, and I'm super excited for our listeners to get their hands on it. If they want to connect with you, if they want to grab the book after listening to this conversation, where can they do that and grab all of your awesome resources?
They can go to 5lovelanguages.com, the number 5, 5lovelanguages.com. All kind of information there on that book and many other books that I've written, and many quizzes there that will help them. And with this book, there comes a code that they can download online on this website, download, a whole booklet of practical ideas on how to build these things.
Awesome. I love that.
It builds up on the book. So, yeah, and all of that comes with the purchase of the book.
Awesome. Well, I know I can speak for myself and everyone listening in saying that you have spoken into so many of our lives. I know for me from a very young age, because the Love Languages book has been out for a very long time. And so that's language that's been a part of my friendships and then my marriage for most of my life. And so it's just been a joy to get to know you these couple of times that we've gotten to chat on the podcast. And I was so excited when I heard about this book for families, because I think it just takes everything that you've already written to that next level and helping us really apply that in the everyday culture of our families. And so I'm super excited for listeners to get their hands on it. And it's just been a joy to have you back on the podcast. So thank you for being with me.
Well, thank you, Rebecca. It's always good to chat with you. So keep up the good work of what you're doing. God bless you.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Dr. Gary Chapman as much as I did. Go grab a copy of Five Traits of a Healthy Family wherever you like to buy books. And if you were encouraged during this episode and you think, man, somebody else in my life I think would be really encouraged by hearing this conversation, will you share it with them while it's fresh on your mind? And then go for a walk with them. Go grab coffee and talk about what it looks like to develop the traits of a healthy family. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. We're going to be back with you next Tuesday for another amazing episode, and I will talk to you then.